So we've just had quite a big reading to us, but I think that's important because I'd just like us to get the big picture and just get this together in our heads. So now I'm just going to read out the main part that I'd like to focus on this morning from Matthew 10 in the NLT translation, on New Living Translation. So Jesus sends out the 12 apostles. Jesus called his 12 disciples together and gave them authority to cast out evil spirits and to heal every kind of disease and illness. Here are the names of the 12 apostles. First, Simon, also called Peter, then Andrew, Peter's brother, James, son of Zebedee, John, James's brother, Philip, Bartholomew, Thomas, Matthew, the tax collector, James, son of Alphaeus, Thaddeus, Simon the zealot, Judas Iscariot, who later betrayed him. Jesus sent out the 12 apostles with these instructions. Don't go to the Gentiles or the Samaritans, but only to the people of Israel, God's lost sheep. Go and announce to them that the kingdom of heaven is near. Heal the sick, raise the dead, cure those with leprosy, and cast out demons. Give as freely as you have received. And I'd like us to just focus on verse 8, which says, when Jesus says, give as freely as you have received. And this is something that I'm speaking to this morning from the heart on. It's something that I feel is important to remind ourselves of as a church, that we don't operate the same way as a business does, because our priority is not about financial income. Our priority is in building heavenly treasure. It's in eternal treasure. And as we do that, God provides for us. And we are all a part of this adventure of building the church and extending the kingdom. And every one of us has a role to play in doing that. And I'm asking you to join me on this year as we move forward as a church together. So Jesus instructs the 12 disciples to give as freely as they have received. And that word there, freely, that's used can be translated as meaning undeservedly. So undeservedly we have received, or without a cause, freely, not in vain. We may not have always reciprocated God's love, yet we are always receiving it, or we always have access to it. And at times when it's almost maybe seemed pointless because we've not responded or got a hold of it, God has still been generous to us. He's still loved us. God has given freely to us, so may we also freely give that which has been given to us, to others. That word give means to bestow, to bring forth, to commit, to deliver. And the word received, it means to get a hold of. So what God has given us to get a hold of, we must ensure we help or enable others to get a hold of too. We must present these things as available to others around us. We need to tell them about it, yeah? I don't deserve unconditional love, constant care, complete forgiveness, time and time again, but yet I receive it because that is God's grace. And I want to encourage you this morning, maybe you're listening to this recording, I just want to encourage you that if you've messed up in life and if you feel like you'll never truly be loved or you'll never be forgiven or you'll never be truly cared for the way you want to be or you'll never be anything, then let me tell you that there is hope for you because of Jesus, because of God's grace, and he wants to give you a chance at a better future. We can choose whether or not we accept that and take it home with us, or whether we throw it in the bin like a present that we don't want. But how many of you know that what we receive from God is far greater than anything this world could ever offer us? Again, it wouldn't be a sermon from me if I didn't get Andrea Crouch in there. He sings, "You don't know what you're missing. You don't know what you're missing." Who knows it? Yep. "You don't know what you're missing." And then he sings, "The best things in life are free, and they come very naturally when you give God your heart. Promise you'll never depart, then you can sing along with me." And it's true. You know, you don't know what you're missing until you've given God a try. The disciples' lives were transformed. Jesus showed them kindness, he showed them grace, he gave them a chance to be transformed and to live a better way. And they were to share the good news, they were to share what had been given to them as freely as they had received it. I love the Message translation of verse 8, which translates it as, you have been treated generously, so live generously. And I want to encourage us, church, this year to be a generous people. So you might say, well, what exactly is it that we have freely received? What is it that we have received? How is God generous to us? Well, for starters, we have his forgiveness. God has given us his forgiveness, so also we must forgive. Read Matthew 6:15, Matthew 18:21. Again, I love that quote from George Herbert. He that cannot forgive others breaks the bridge over which he himself must pass if he would ever reach heaven. For everyone has a need to be forgiven. Isn't it wonderful? God forgives us, and we must also forgive. Free as we have received that, we must share it. God's given us his love. It's something that we know that as Christians we are to share. Colossians talks about wearing love as our all-purpose garment everywhere we go, sharing the love that God has given to us. All over the Bible it talks about that. I'm sure we can think of many examples. Love your neighbour, you know, the basic commandments that we have. God has given us his comfort. How many of you have experienced comfort from God in a difficult time? 2 Corinthians 1:4, he comforts us in all our troubles so that we can comfort others. When they are troubled, we will be able to give them the same comfort God has given us. The Bible talks about comforting people and looking after the widow. I love the Message translation of 2 Corinthians 1:4. He comes alongside us when we go through hard times. And before you know it, he brings us alongside someone else who is going through hard times so that we can be there for that person, just as God was there for us. We have plenty of hard times that come from following the Messiah. But no more so than the good times of his healing comfort. We get a full measure of that too. How many of you know that's true? Yeah, I know I do. You know, I think it's exciting what we're going to be doing with Harvest this year. You know, we have an opportunity to share the comfort of God to those people that are going through that difficult time of bereavement. We could go through a list here all day of what God has given us and blessed us with. These are things to share as we have received them freely without a charge or without a massive list of conditions that God has given us. And so where to give them also, where to enable others to get a hold of what we've received, this freedom, this revelation of God's love. And we want them to get a hold of the forgiveness that we have experienced from God. We want to share that with them. This is our mission, to extend the kingdom, to share the hope that we have. Ask yourself, what has God given you and how can you share that with others this year as we move forward? Think about how you can help people because of the help that God has given you. I know that I wouldn't be here today standing before you if it wasn't for God's goodness and his grace and his mercy. And that's something that I want to share with the people around me. That's something that I want to share with the people of this city. And how many of you believe that together we can extend the kingdom with God's help and that all kinds of amazing things could happen this year, that lives can be transformed, that healing can come in this place, that deliverance can come in this place. So let's have a generous mindset where our thinking is more geared around what we can give and how we can bless others rather than what we can gain. Let us never be a people that turn our church ministry into a business that's focused on money making or financial profit. Let's live to give. You know, at the time that Jesus is speaking to the disciples, it wasn't a lot different in terms of this whole situation. Because how many of you know that sometimes you switch on TV or certain channels and somebody will say, send me £5,000 and I'll send you an anointed hanky that's going to save you and deliver your life. And, you know, that's maybe an extreme example, but that was happening in this time as well when the disciples were alive. And what Jesus is saying is, don't be like that. Freely as you have received, freely also give. The disciples have seen Jesus perform these miracles as Jesus, you know, been looking to create some kind of amazing name for himself or financial empire. No, he is living to serve the Father, to be obedient to the Father, to do what God has said, to extend the kingdom, to bring healing. And so we are to follow Jesus' example. Hebrews 13:16 says, "Do not neglect to do good and to share what you have, for such sacrifices are pleasing to God." Luke 6:38, the Message translation, "Give away your life, you'll find life given back, but not merely given back with bonus and blessing. Giving, not getting, is the way." It's good for us to be generous, and also, a lot of the time when I think we look at this verse in church, the first thing that we think of is finances, but we're talking about more than just money here. I was in a taxi recently talking to a taxi driver, and you know how you get chatting, and I love chatting with taxi drivers, and it's a great opportunity to talk about church because, you know, hey, I might never see you again, so I'm just going to go for it and just go straight to the point. And then, anyway, I was chatting with this taxi driver, and she was Romanian, and me being me was like, oh yeah, I'm gonna speak Romanian here. And I was like, Pace. And she was like, oh, I've never heard anybody say that word to me before here. And she said, I've only heard swear words from you English people in Romanian. She said, that is a nice word. How do you know that word? And so I got chatting to her about some past mission trips to Romania and the church there. And what was very interesting was this lady, she was telling me some of her history and her life. And she wasn't a Christian, but she said to me, oh, they are so generous. They are such generous people. And she was referring to the Christians in Romania. And she was saying that, she was just telling me these stories about how generous they are. And it was so clear, I couldn't get a word in edgeways. She was just telling me about how generous they were. And, you know, you can knock on their door anytime and they are there for you. Everyone looks after each other. And she, you know, had clearly had this distinct, strong impression and love for the generosity of these people. And yet she wasn't a Christian. And, you know, it just reminded me what an impact it makes when we are generous with people, and also when they see us taking care of each other, what a good witness that can be. And so I want to encourage us that may we also be remembered and recognised for being a people who take care of each other and are generous, a people who are all about what we can give and not what we can get. Whether that be, you know, financially that we give, or with our time with someone, with our support. You know, I thank God for the way that he provided for me when I moved to Norfolk. And for me, that was quite a big step. And I remember I had this lovely kitchen that I was living in, but I didn't really have many utensils. And at the time, I didn't have any pans yet. And I remember this delivery of, like, the most amazing pans. And just everything that you could, you know, kind of want as a newbie in this little kitchen. And I just remember being so blessed at the way that God provided for me. And I remember thanking this lady who gave me these things. And she was a very generous lady. And I remember her saying to me, you can never outgive God. Yeah. And, you know, it just reminded me and stuck with me. And I just thought, you know, that's great. That really inspired me just to keep giving to others. And, you know, God provides for us, and it's often through each other, through his people. And I want to challenge us this morning that this year, are we going to take really good care of each other as well? Are we going to help each other? And are we going to listen to God for ways in which we can bless others most effectively and ways in which we can really help them? You know, I have grown up in the church, I've had that blessing, and I've heard story after story of God's provision. I have witnessed God's provision for my family, for my parents, and there are so many amazing stories that many of us in here could share of how God has provided for our needs. And, you know, I believe here that Jesus is encouraging the disciples that they should focus on the job rather than on the material things. He says in verse 9, don't take any money in your money belts. No gold, silver, or even copper coins. Don't carry a traveller's bag with a change of clothes and sandals or even a walking stick. You know, Jesus doesn't say that they should stock up with plenty of provisions and all the things that make them feel nice and comfortable. There's no money bags to collect and build up their money. What they have with them on their journey should not be the focus. Jesus wants them to focus on the job they have to do rather than any of these material things. The Message translation puts it, don't think you have to put on a fundraising campaign before you start. You don't need a lot of equipment. You are the equipment, and all you need to keep that going is 3 meals a day. Travel light. There's that saying, isn't there? You can't take it with you when you go. Well, anything you collect, you can't take it with you when you go. You know, this morning you might actually feel, well, I don't feel like I have much to give anyway. But when we feel like we have nothing to give, yet we still give, God can actually do something amazing. And one of the happiest memories I have from my whole life is when my mum took me for my birthday to the train station. And we laugh at this in my family because my parents at the time, they couldn't afford for me to have a party or really do much for my birthday. And so my mum, being my lovely mum, was being creative and thinking of things to do. And so she made it into this really exciting thing that we'd sit on a bench at the train station and we'd watch the trains and we'd have a cup of tomato soup. And you know how presentation can be everything sometimes, how somebody presents something and it was like, you know, this cup of tomato soup is the most amazing thing I could be having on my birthday. And then, you know, that is one of my happiest memories in my whole life because I felt so loved and I knew that my mum loved me. And she didn't have a massive cake to give me or a grand party or anything, but she gave me all that she could. And do you know what she gave me? She gave me love, and she shared God's love with me. And she told me that God loved me, and she brought me up with that and taught me that. And to me, that's so special. And that will always be a happy memory of mine that's going to stay with me forever. Somebody could take me to the most grand venue in the most grand place, and I'm not sure it could make me as happy as that time did. And you might not have a lot this morning in terms of finances. You might not have a lot in your bank. You might be really struggling. But you know, you have so much to give, and you have so much to share, and you can give somebody a memory like that. And, you know, you can change somebody's day. You can be a part of impacting somebody's month, somebody's year, somebody's life by sharing the good news with them, by sharing God's love with them, because that is more special than anything else that we can give. And so as a kid, I didn't need a grand birthday party. Anybody remember Super Sweet 16? I'm probably showing that I'm like nearly 30 there. Because I'm like, yeah, that's probably not a hip show anymore. But, you know, they used to have the grand parties and all these kind of things. But, you know, what I needed as a kid, and I received, and I'm very grateful, was to be loved. And the things that we really need are the things that come from God, that God provides us with, that God gives us. And when we feel like we have nothing to give, God can actually do something amazing when we give what we can. He can do something wonderful through it. And with God's love inside of you, you have everything to give. How many of you believe that? We're so rich in this room. We're so rich. I have so much. I'm so joyful because I have so much. So you might say, well, this is all, you know, nice, Libby, but where do I start? Who am I giving to? What is this about? So I want to read verses 5 to 8 in the Message translation. Jesus sent his 12 harvest hands out with this charge. Don't begin by travelling to some far-off place to convert unbelievers. And don't try to be dramatic by tackling some public enemy. Go to the lost, confused people right here in the neighbourhood. Tell them that the kingdom is here. It starts right here, people. It starts with the people that we pass on the street. It starts with the people that live next door to us. We don't need to travel far to, you know, to go find people that are needy, because there's needy people all around us. And it's up to us to share the gospel with them. It's up to us to tell them that the kingdom is here. It's up to us to proclaim the gospel with those that are around us. And, you know, if people don't want to hear it, if you've shared the good news and they don't want to hear it, shake the dust off your feet, leave and go to the next hurting person. Let's focus on the job and God will make a way. How many times in the Bible do we read of how God made a way? Yeah, we do, don't we? How many times do we read of his provision? And it might not always be in the way that the people wanted. You know, we read of the Israelites receiving the manna. It might not have been what they wanted, but it was what they needed. And, you know, God will provide. And as I mentioned earlier, that can often be through his people. And we have a responsibility to look after each other, to help each other out, to be praying and to be listening to God about how he'd like us to bless others and how we can do that effectively as well. You know, isn't it, wouldn't it be nice to be the person that hears from God about somebody's very specific need and be able to help them and bless them greatly, whether it's that they need food or a hamper or that they need some time or just that they need some encouragement or somebody just to infuse them with a bit of hope or to help them move forward. You know, you can be that person to bring a blessing in the lives of others this year. But as we talk about this, I want to remind us not to be hypocrites like the Pharisees were. You know, Jesus tells us, you know, not to be like the Pharisees who were hypocrites. And it's all about looking good and doing good. And, hey, I gave this amount to charity. Or, you know, hey, I did this the other week. I'm such a do-gooder. I'm such a great, you know, such a great Christian, such a good person. You know, what about those moments this year that we may experience where we can bless somebody privately, where we can do something good? You know, what about those moments when nobody's looking and we have a choice to make and we can choose to share what God has given us? What about the kindness that nobody sees? What about the sacrifices we may make that others aren't aware of or don't see? Will we be willing to do that for Jesus this year, regardless of credit or no credit? You know, we're not puppets. God isn't like a puppet master controlling everybody. God is asking us to work with the Holy Spirit to complete this mission that we have. And earlier this morning, it may have been in the leaders' meeting, actually, my dad had mentioned about a tweet where Roger Forster said something, and I saw this yesterday and I just loved it. Roger Forster said, if we don't keep preaching the gospel, we're holding back God's plans for the universe. I'm just going to say that again, just as we think upon that. If we don't keep preaching the gospel, we're holding back God's plans for the universe. We have a responsibility and it's up to us. Are we going to do this year? Are we going together to extend the kingdom? So God doesn't control us like puppets. He gives us that choice. Are we fully committed this year? So let's remember that as followers of Jesus, we are to live generously, with our focus being on what we can give to others rather than what we can personally gain. God has given us more than anything this world could ever offer us. Jesus has saved us. Is somebody excited about that? I am. May we be a people that share what God has given us, dedicating our lives to serving Jesus and building the kingdom. And can I just say there that I'm not saying, you know, quit your job and that you have to be a full-time pastor to be doing this. We're all a part of it, no matter what your workplace is, what your job is, what your diary is like. We're all in this together. And we can do this knowing that we have the promise of eternal life, knowing that God will never leave or abandon us, and knowing that we can rely on him to provide for our needs. And, you know, when we choose to commit ourselves, go giving all we are, all we have to building the kingdom, amazing things can happen. The hard work is worth it. Let's give this everything. I want to encourage you to give this everything this year. If there was anything to ever invest in, we're building the kingdom, not our own little empires. the things that we achieve together for the kingdom last forever, and nobody can destroy it. The devil can't take away that moment when we showed somebody God's love. The gates of hell cannot destroy the church. That moment when Jesus gives us that bit of strength that we thought we just couldn't muster up, but he blesses us with it. When we thought we couldn't make it through, but we can say we did because of Jesus. The devil can't take that away. Isn't that something to rejoice about this morning? May this be a year where perhaps we have more quiet times, more times with Jesus where we're listening about how we can be a generous people and how we can extend the kingdom together and go out as Jesus has instructed us to do so. Andre Crouch wrote this song, Quiet Times, and the words are, it's those quiet times, they are so precious to me. That's when you tell me those secret things and all you want me to be. It's those quiet times, alone together, just you and me. That's when I tell you that I love you and you remind me that you love me too. Together, there ain't nothing that we can't do and they can't take that away from me. No, no. Quiet times, they are not. It's all right with me. Doubts and fears, they seem to disappear just because you're so near. In those quiet times, they put that sparkle back in my eye. That's when I tell you that I love you, and you remind me that you love me too. Together, there isn't anything we can't do. They are precious days in my life, every day I spend with you. You tell me, and he goes on to say, no, you tell me that you love me, and I tell you that I love you too, and together, there's nothing that we can't do. May we remind ourselves, as we leave this place and as we move forward into 2017 together, that God is on our side, that we're not alone. So are we ready to go? Are we ready to spread the good news, to proclaim the gospel? So I want to challenge us, are we really going to commit ourselves to this together this year? And I just want to leave us with this challenge, verses 38 to 39 in the Message translation. If you don't go all the way with me through thick and thin, you don't deserve me. If your first concern is to look after yourself, you'll never find yourself. But if you forget about yourself and look to me, you'll find both yourself and me. Let's put God first this year. Let's seek first his kingdom and his will to be done together. Let's believe that as we move forward and as we are obedient to the will of God, that he will provide for us every step of the way. So let's ask ourselves, have we allowed ourselves to become too focused on material things? We can't take anything from this world with us when we die, 1 Timothy 6:7. But the things we achieve for God's kingdom will last forever. Keep on sharing what God has done for you. Keep full of faith and keep trusting that God will take care of you. God is with us and provides us with all we need for the journey. Let's pray. Lord God, we thank you that you are our provider. And we remind ourselves and we recognise this morning that we have a responsibility to give freely as we have freely received. Help us to do that this year, we pray, Lord God. Help us to remember that it starts right here with the people around us, the people that we meet every day. May you give us courage and boldness to share the gospel, to share the good news. May you give us courage and boldness to pray with people, to offer to pray with people, even maybe when we are afraid. Help us, Lord God, to bring about the extension of your kingdom. And we thank you, Lord, that despite any of our flaws or failings, you love us and you still want us to be a part of this mission. So we give ourselves to you and we say, Lord, here we are. Use us. Your will be done. Your kingdom come. Amen.